Automated Code Coverage Measurement with Marco Rossignoli.
The Azure DevOps Podcast is a show for developers and DevOps professionals shipping software using Microsoft technologies. Each show brings you hard-hitting interviews with industry experts, innovating better methods, and sharing success stories. Listen on to learn how to increase quality, ship quickly, and operate well. And now your host, Jeffrey Palermo.
Welcome to the show. I'm Jeffrey Palermo, your host for helping you and your teams move fast, deliver quality, and run your software with confidence in Azure, all while using everything that the .NET ecosystem has to offer. This podcast is sponsored by ClearMeasure, a software architecture company that empowers .NET teams to be self-sufficient and able to deliver world-class results through its ClearMeasure Way methodology. This month's special announcement, which recording in January of 2023, I'm hosting some architect forums. And if you're an architect or any other software team leader, maybe you sometimes feel alone without a peer to discuss some unique issues that you go through. In the architect forums, you'll be able to discuss real questions and topics with other software architects about any topic, because you're all leading software engineering teams and you want to establish quality, you want to achieve stability, and you want to have the team move fast. And so you'll be able to hear what others have to say. I will be facilitating the forums, and we keep the participation low so that we can have meaningful conversations. We already do have two forums scheduled for January, so register now at the link in the show notes or on the ClearMeasure website for a January forum before they fill up. And for those of you looking for the Programming with Palermo video podcast, you can just search in any of the directories and you'll be able to find it. My guest today on the show is Marco Rossignoli, and he's a dev at Microsoft on the .NET test platform and code coverage team. And he's also the co-maintainer of the Coverlet Collector NuGet package and libraries. And those have over 100 million downloads. They're used by everybody to integrate into Azure pipelines and other tools for code coverage. Marco, welcome to the show. How are you, sir?
Yeah, thank you. It's fine. Thank you very much for the invite.
My pleasure. I'm so happy to have you on the show because you're one of the major maintainers on that tool. But also, I don't think I've spoken with anyone from the Microsoft test platform and code coverage teams. But before we get into that, how did you get into this line of work? How did your career kind of land you working on code coverage?
So I started more or less 20 years ago working with the .NET technology, starting from the version 1.0, the full framework. Now I call it full framework.
Now we are in
core in the future. And during my career, I worked more or less on everything. So client application, server application. And after 15 years of work on that side, I worked also for 10 years in fintech. So we worked on automated trading system, so multi-trading and stuff like that. And after 15 years, I started to work on open source for personal interest. And I did some contribution on the runtime repo. And while I was working there, I saw that this coverlet was a tool used to do the coverage of the runtime repo code. And I started to be interested in, how the coverage is working, because it looks like, magic. Mm-hmm. Which line of code is covered by your test. So it was super fascinating from my perspective. And so I moved to coverlet and I started to contribute to understand how stuff are working, like always. And after some time, I got the invite from Tony. Tony is the guy that created Coverlet, the first version. And he asked me, I need some help. I'm alone. The tool is good. It's growing very, very fast, but we need to address a lot of problems. And so I started to work with him. And after a pair of years, now I'm more or less the main maintainer. We are in three, actually. There are me, Tony, but not a lot at the moment. And there are other two guys, Dave Mueller. But you can go to the site and you can check. There's the Dave Mueller and the other guy. Let me say the correct name because I don't want to be not enough polite. The Peter, okay? And we are, so let's say, four guys. but mainly on the code we're working, me and David at the moment. But this is fine. This is how the open source works. You know, there is this exchange of people because, you know, you're interested. Someone can, you know, stop to be interested in a matter. So it's fine. It's perfectly fine, in my opinion, to move to something else. And so there is, you know, this chain of developer that move on the tool. So this is how I, you know, I landed to Coverlet for personal interest, because it was really, you know, as a .NET developer, I know pretty well C Sharp, how is the language. When you move to, I was fascinated by the fact that how you can understand which line of code, you know, you covered by your test.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks to that, you need to move to the runtime part. So you need to move to IL, you need to understand what is a PDB file, how it's working, what is a CLI spec, because all this information are needed to have, you know, that report with that line highlighted because you passed there thanks to your test. And this is the main, it was the main drive for my participation to the Coverlet contribution.
Awesome. We'll make sure to include all the links in the show notes so listeners can find the library and the tools and their GitHub repo. I'd like to get into the nuts and bolts of how to use Coverlet. But before we even get into that, I know that there's a lot of people still who are not measuring code coverage at all, and some that are still learning automated testing. So how do you think about code coverage, and why is it even useful to measure, in your opinion?
I think that the code coverage is a measure of quality. Usually you have your test, you can have different kind of tests. You can have unit, functional, integration, smoke, what you want. And that is, you know, the main part of the testing, because and maybe the most important, because you are creating scenario, you know, that you expect to run in production, and you want to be sure that the result is what you expect. The outcome needs to be correct. And I think that the code coverage is on top of it, because it's important to find out that part of the code, because, you know, there is always some part of the code where you don't think that your code will land. Oh, we won't land here pretty never. I don't expect to finish here, to land here often. But actually, you know, we know after some years in this industry that, yeah, you will land in that line, and for some reason you will break the code. And so I think the code coverage is important for this metric, because I have to say that sometimes I don't see the code coverage used, I don't say correctly, but in a good way. Sometimes it looks like more, okay, I have to say that I have the coverage because I need to show to someone that my code is good. Mm-hmm. So I can simply say, oh, I have 19% of coverage. I don't think that is the best way to use coverage. I mean, we should check, yes, that number, but also look at the report and check where, my code is going there. Mm-hmm. My code is not going there. Sometimes it's not easy, I have to say, because and usually the question that I got often is, how much? 100%, 1985, it's hard.
Right.
I think that ideally it should be 100, but I think it's sometimes not possible, because if you are perfect in the structure of your code, you are able to reach all the if is null true exception, so you can check that error condition. But actually, if you in the above layer, you already checked that, it's really hard sometime to reach that code. So I don't say 100 is ideal, but usually I think that between 85, 90, it's something that can be good. But the number is not enough. We should also check, because maybe we are not covering one of the most important part of our code. But maybe we want to run more time that line because it's the core of my application, and I'm less interested in other part. So the Coverlet is good for this reason, because you can have the accounting of how many time you pass on that line. So it's also good. For instance, I remember when I worked on the runtime, I did some refactoring and I removed some tests. And thanks to the coverage, I discovered, I removed some tests because the comparison between the two reports told me that, I have less, what I did, because it was a complex refactoring, you know. So it was really a good measure to say, no, I need to bring it back, the test that I removed for mistake. So, you know, this is another good way to use test is for regression, to understand that you are removing mm-hmm. something and you are not testing like you did in past.
Okay, so while you wouldn't advocate for 100% code coverage, it's a good measurement of change. You accidentally reduced the code coverage and you didn't intend to, but it caught you. And so it was useful in that way, trending over time to see that, oh, wait a minute, maybe I'm not going to get to 100%, but whatever it is, I don't want to make a change and accidentally go down.
Yeah, it's because usually, you know, for instance, in this case, it was a real case. I remember I was changing the string test. So it's a huge class used everywhere.
Right.
And I was removing test there. And I remember a sync with the runtime maintainer say, oh, it's strange. We have less coverage than before. I merged 3.5, you know. And it was so complex, the review on UX. And thanks to the DZ, I removed this free test because they were, you know, very thin. They were a wrapper on a wrapper with different input. And we removed some coverage and we bring it back. So it was a huge help to keep the quality higher.
Right. Okay. When you are running your tests locally, do you look at your own code coverage numbers on your own workstation? Or is that more of a build server level report that you most likely look at?
Well, usually the tool that you use on pull request idea are better than local. You can use in local, for instance, Report Generator is a good open source tool where you can, you know, you can run the coverage, you produce the coverage report, and you can run this tool to have a HTML report that is really clear where the problem. But usually, at least it's personal, but usually I check on pull request because there you run all the tests. And so you can see better, you know, the big picture of the coverage part. And also for the other, because usually you have some review from someone and say, you didn't cover this line. Can you write a test for that? And this is the main place where usually I got also feedback from the other, from the team.
Okay. Well, let's go over how Coverlet works, because Visual Studio has had different means of measuring code coverage over years past, but this new method, Coverlet, how is it different from the old ones? And just give us a rundown of how it works and how you run it.
Yeah, let's say that when we talk about code coverage, at least now I'm talking about managed code, but it's not a lot different for native, because in Microsoft we are shipping also the tool to cover native code. That is slightly different because there is no IL in the middle, so we go directly on the assembler. But let's say that when we talk about code coverage, depends on the runtime, you usually have two type of coverage, static and dynamic. Coverlet is a static instrumental. What it means is that we take the module, we read all the IL, and we insert IL instruction where we think it is useful to have. And after we run the test with this, operation. Actually, it's like to say, okay, using the PDB that give us the mapping between the sequence point, line of code, we can say, okay, in this offset, there is this line. And so we can insert a correct, pointer, you know, to the correct index. And in that way, at the end, we can collect where the code is passed, because it's like to set one or zero, you know, to some memory cell that referring to that sequence point, that referring to that lines. And so we rewrite the module. In the static world, you rewrite the module, you run your test, and at the end, you collect this information. And thanks to the PDB, you can say, okay, this is up, this bit is up. So it means that this line was covered. Or how many times, because in Coverlet, we have it's an int. So we increase every time we pass through that line. It's an interlocked increment. And this is the static. And in my opinion, it's the easiest way. And it's also, I'd say, more stable. Mm-hmm. Why? Because when you call the instrument, you know pretty everything. Because you know there is nothing running, there is no operating system that is doing something, there is no Taloa, it's cold, it's easier. After there is Dynamic, and the .NET support also Dynamic in general. That one is done through a profiler. So what it means is that you have to load a piece of code on the fly, and the runtime callbacks to you, you know, using some callback. In this case, it's native, because at the moment, the profiler in .NET is native code. Mm-hmm. And you can, before the jitter, jit the code, you can insert your instruction. In that case, it's sometime faster, because if you touch less code, you instrument less. But I say that from my experience, it's not so different. We don't have a huge difference in both type of instrumentation are pretty the same and pretty fast. Mm-hmm. So this is the true way to work. So what we do, it's really, we change the code actually. So you know, we are inserting a pair of IELOP code to say, okay, pass here. And at the end, we collect. For collection, there are different technology. You can simply read a coverlet. In this case, is saving the information in a in-memory array. Mm-hmm. And at the end, we are taking, you know, this array, saving on disk, and we have this sheets file, and we do the mapping, and we generate different type of report, because in the market there are different kind of report. The most used is Cobertura, usually, but there are also OpenCover.
Cobertura, yeah.
Many thanks to our podcast sponsor, Clear Measure. Clear Measure is a software architecture company that empowers clients' development teams to be self-sufficient, moving fast, delivering quality, and running their systems with confidence. Whether starting a new project or developing new technologies or techniques, Clear Measure sets up your team to deliver world-class results. Learn more at www.clearmeasure.com. Clear Measure, empowering software delivery. Clear Measure is also happy to be a sponsor of the video podcast, Programming with Palermo. Watch, learn, and program alongside Chief Architect Jeffrey Palermo. Videos are added weekly and available on syndicated locations supporting video podcast or by visiting palermo.network. Tune in today.
So whether it's Azure Pipelines or GitHub Actions or just a PowerShell script, how do developers need to integrate the coverlet collector to start using it? Where do they put those commands?
If you create a test using .NET new XUnit or an unit or MS test, by design, you have inside the template coverlet already installed because it's integrated in the SDK. So okay. By design, you have already onboarded a coverage tool.
Okay.
After that, you have to use a command line, .NET test, and there is it's on the guide, --, collect. You specify the string xplat coverage. And thanks to that, automatically, the test platform will load the coverlet data collector and will do everything I saw some minutes ago. So it will instrument rewriting on the disk the DLL. And at the end, you know, we'll get this information from the hints file and we generate and return back to the test platform the report. We are, we are plugged in using a data collector extension. Okay. But coverlet works also in another way. I mean, we call data collector as a driver because actually the core, it's the same, but you can run it using a data collector, using MS build task, or using a custom tool, because it depends on your scenario. It's also possible to use different extension. Let's say that the best extension is the data collector, because it's strictly integrated with the orchestration of the test platform. And so we don't suffer of any problem of, for instance, crash, mm-hmm. fast close of the host, because we are now integrated. And so we receive from the platform, test is finished, do whatever you want, and after tell me it's fine. So we are synchronized in a better way with the test platform itself. So I suggest usually to say, use data collector, don't use MS build. Because it's less good.
So regardless of the build server, you would just, when calling .NET.exe test, you just add the one additional argument and that's it.
Yes. Before that, you need to check your template. But if you create a template today, and also since 2 years, three, I think three, you have already by design coverlet data collector in the template. If you don't have it, you have to simply add the reference and add the coverlet collector reference in the project, because that build will move the data collector close to your test, and so the test platform can load it and use it.
And if anyone's looking for the NuGet package, it's called coverlet.collector. You can just make sure that your test project does reference that package.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. And is there any difference in how it works between Azure Pipelines or GitHub Actions or Team City? Any differences there?
No, that's the good part. I mean, the engine, Coverlet is divided in three main library, but there is one core that is referenced to the drivers, you know, because the driver is the entry in that context. Ah, okay, I want MS Build. Okay, if I want to use MS Build, I need an MS Build task. But we reuse the same engine. So the same configuration that you are using in MS Build, you can use it in Data Collector. And the technology below is the same, identical. We are only, you know, mapping the different parameter with different way. In if you Data Collector, you have to use a run setting. If you have MS Build, you use a console argument. And the same for the console, because we have a .NET tool. It's only you know, different naming of the parameter, but the engine is the same. So static instrumentation and collect at the end.
Okay. In projects that I work on, there always seems to be, and I think there always will be, multiple test suites. And I know at Microsoft, you guys have, you know, level 0, level 1, level 2 tests. And so many teams have unit tests, then a different test suite for integration tests, and then maybe some full system tests that run on a fully deployed instance of the software. So you have multiple test suites running. How does Coverlet support pulling all the results together so that you get the one number of code coverage, or is that possible?
At the moment, Coverlet doesn't support the merging, but if you are running, how to say, the same suite of tests. So you run .NET test on a solution, okay? We have some configuration that where you can, how to say, merge the result between the different DLL. But I'd say that is not huge at the moment. Why? Because to be able to run in that mode, you need to, how to say, synchronize the access to the file that you are summing up, you know? And so it's not super good. Usually what I advise is to use is to run in parallel after you have these files and use a tool like Report Generator or the .NET coverage tool shipped by Microsoft that is, free, where you can merge the report at the end. So in this case, you can also, you know, distribute your test around. At the end, you have a bunch of files that you can merge in one place. That is my advice.
So what is the tool that merges all the different reports?
Report Generator.
Report Generator. Okay, we'll make sure to include it.
Generator or .NET test. .NET coverage. It's a Microsoft tool. It's my team is producing this tool. It's has got a merge verb where you can pass a list of report, and it will merge for you.
Okay.
The first one, Report Generator, it's open source. .NET coverage is not open source, but it's free. And you know, the first one is also able to generate HTML, for instance. Report.
Okay, so command the line.
Do both.
So .NET dash coverage on the command line, and it'll take the multiple reports from multiple runs of .NET.exe test, and then give you a single report so that you'll know if you're at 85% overall or whatever number you are.
Yes, you merge. The .NET, let me send in chat, it's fine. The .NET coverage merged for you, but it's not checking the coverage. You have to take the file and load in some viewer. Report Generator, it's also a viewer. Because, you know, we have two parts here. We have a coverage file that is a format like Cobertura, Open Cover, or other format that describe how much you cover. And you can end clearly different, depends on the test. At the end, you have to merge in some way and give it, you know, fill some viewer. The viewer is that tool that take this coverage and show you in a report like an HTML report. But are two different tooling. .NET coverage does the merge. to view the trends, for instance, Azure DevOps has got a specific one. Other CI systems has got different way to view that, but they are relying on these standard formats.
Right. Okay.
Repo generator, do both. So you can merge and generate at the same time. It's an open source tool too.
Right. What is Cobertura? Because it's in there, it's a selection, but what exactly is that?
Cobertura is a very old age coverage format XML file, you know, that describe how to say the coverage per file per module. So it's an XML file.
It's simply a schema.
Describe how many modules and how much you covered for every line of your code for your module. I'd say that it's pretty old. And sometimes we have problem because, you know, nowadays the world changed a lot since 20 years. So now we have different architecture, different build way, like releasing the bug. We have if-def in the code, where, for instance, in .NET, you can do multi-TFM and do if-def in code. So this concept of different kind of setup for the testing and coverage, because maybe, you know, you have Linux and you skip code, you run only in Windows or Linux, different kind of code. This complexity, this matrix of run, it's not well suited by this format that is old, but it's used a lot. And so sometimes we have some problem, you know, to say, okay, how we can extend, how we can have a, because no, it would be great to have a tool where you have a drop down and you can move and switch different setting of your merged coverage, and you can see, oh, this line is not covered on that architecture, on that operating system, on that version the bug already is. I mean, the matrix is big. Mm-hmm. In past, right, there were one coverage and stop. So Cobertura what is the most used format?
And that seems to be the one to use, right? That's the one that you prefer?
Yeah. We have an internal format in Microsoft that is proprietary, and it's better because clearly we can improve, we can add information, we can have better information. But I'd say that in community, and usually the tooling around is usually providing this Cobertura or Open Cover that are the most open XML, you know, human readable format, because our format, the one used in Visual Studio, is binary. So you cannot open and check.
Sure. And if we're integrating into Azure pipelines, then to show that on our dashboard, I think there's two in the check in the drop down to select, and one of them is Cobertura.
Yeah. There's Cobertura, yeah. And usually Cobertura is supported everywhere.
Right.
You know, because
right.
It's the other one.
Well, that sounds pretty easy for even people who have never used it before. It sounds like any Visual Studio solution that has at least one automated test project could integrate code coverage with Coverlet pretty quickly.
Yeah. Those Visual Studios got a really very beautiful UX. I mean, you can, you know, drill down to the report. It's really, really interesting. I mean, we have Visual Studio, it's super complete. It's a, you know, tool, it's under subscription. So there are a lot of investments in UX, how to do that. But if you want, there is also a report generator that is HTML. It's good. Anyway, I use it in the past a lot. I mean, I think that they are the two best tools for at least the .NET ecosystem to read, you know, understand how is the coverage of your solution.
Right. And it seems like in the checklist of reviewing a pull request, that's a perfect thing to check, to look at the previous code coverage level, whatever percent it was, and if the code coverage is going down, like your example before, then that's something to ask about versus just immediately accepting that pull request, because maybe there's an extenuating circumstance, but we don't want to just accidentally lose code coverage with a change.
Yeah, that's the main reason. You can also provide some step, you know, that it can fail the merge if you expect some level of coverage, so you can really block the merge of not covered code.
Right. Awesome. Well, are there any future plans for code coverage that you're excited about or looking forward to, or is all of this tooling pretty stable at this point?
Well, I'd say that the coverage is not a new thing, so the tools are pretty stable.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I think it will be, how to say, but it's my opinion. I'm not talking, you know, for myself. It's my opinion as a dev coverage guy. I think that in future, with the, at least for .NET world, where we are moving, we have for core a lot of really exciting new features like native OT. We have, you know, trimming. We have I think that we will move more on static coverage than dynamic, because this scenario sometimes cannot offer a profiler on the fly. So you need to be able to, you know, instrument before run the code, because at the end the code is, you know, trimmed, so you don't have everything you have for a normal run. So my feeling, but it's really hard to you know, to forecast the future. I think that this is both things that maybe could happen in future, but I'm not sure. And I'm talking, it's my idea.
Sure.
It's not, but for the rest, I think we could, and I think that we are, we could improve the report. This, no, this what I said before, Courbatura is pretty old. Yeah, we can extend adding some more attribute, you know, maybe not standard, but you can extend something that is XML, it's fine. Maybe we, I think that we will improve a lot this part to be able to understand. I think that the challenge is in this world where, at least for .NET, you can run different, you can run everywhere. .NET is amazing. You can run where you want. You can create native stuff today from, right, you know, the IL code. It's really amazing. And so this matrix run, I think it's something that we will deal with soon, because I think that where you know, you have one platform that can run everywhere. So it's really easy to say, oh, I want to understand how I covered there in that mode. Mm-hmm. And you need to be able to do that. You need to understand, no, I'm not covering everything good there. So this matrix is something that is starting to be, how to say, a things to do, mm-hmm, a things to deal with.
Right. Okay.
Because it makes sense. You run distributed testing, you know, in different machines.
Mm-hmm. Right. For sure.
This is my good.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on the Azure DevOps podcast and sharing what you work on the test platform and code coverage team, and all about Coverlet Collector, because I think the listeners out there, a lot of people are adopting and expanding automated testing and wanting to measure how good of coverage that they have. You know, are they almost done retrofitting tests on older applications, or are they maintaining a greenfield application with good test coverage? So these are really, really important topics. I appreciate your time today.
Yeah, thank you very much for the invite.
Oh, my pleasure. And until next time, keep shipping.
You've been listening to the Azure DevOps Podcast, a show for developers and DevOps professionals shipping software using Microsoft technologies. Go to www.azuredevops.show for show notes and other episodes. On behalf of your host, Jeffrey Palermo, and our sponsors, thanks for listening, and may God bless you.